Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation, only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the unfiltered truth about money, investing, and retirement planning from a man who will give it to you straight. No bias and no spin. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, or welcome to the program. I am excited to be with you because I've got so much to share. A lot of good stuff, some interesting stuff, and of course, some bad behavior that I have to talk about from time to time. Let's start with, well, I would call this good behavior, and it's not really financial, but I think it's relevant, interesting. Quick report from Financial Advisor. They're in a magazine that's geared toward financial advisors, kind of to keep us in the know about what's going on in the world around us, but they sometimes have interesting things that apply to everyone, and this certainly applies to everyone. The best and worst airlines, okay? 2013 National Airline Quality Ranking showed the second highest level of performance in their annual results in 23 years. That is certainly welcome news. So for 2013, here are, with looked at the 14 major airlines, here they are in order from worst to best. United, ExpressJet, SkyWest, American Eagle, American at number 10, U.S. Airways, Southwest, Frontier, Alaska, Hawaiian at number 5, Delta at number 4, AirTran at number 3, JetBlue at number 2, and Virgin America at number 1. So that's interesting. I would agree with a lot of that. I fly Delta. I think they do a pretty good job. I have flown Virgin America, and it was a nice flight. So there you are. All right, let's get to a couple other things before I hit to that. Okay, here's another thing. Everybody in the news, of course, is talking, including me, guilty. I talk very often about and have done things about this. Rising interest rates hurting bonds. And of course, you know, it's one thing to talk about, it's another thing to do something about it. So one way to deal with rising interest rates affecting your bonds, and of course, we're talking about the devaluation of your bond, the market price of your bond going down as interest rates go up, can happen in individual bonds as well as bond funds. There are several ways to deal with that, shortening up the bonds, diversifying the bonds, but you got to do something about it. And so I can tell you from my perspective, we've been shortening our bonds in our portfolios, meaning buying shorter term bonds and coming out a longer term, just as a defensive hedge against what may happen. Well, in a survey of U.S. investors, it was reported in Investment News, Edward Jones did the study. They found that 2/3 of respondents in the survey didn't understand how rising rates will affect their investment portfolios. And a full 1/4 of those people that were surveyed said they felt completely in the dark about the potential effects. And I'm not laughing. It's that just astounds me. And those folks need some better education or some better something, because you know, interest rates go up, bonds go down. The better question is, what do we do about it? And that's, of course, the job of an advisor. But at the same time, you don't want to go jumping into things that are crazy. Another thing that has been a trend, and it was also reported in the same Investment News magazine, that we're seeing people move into, in pursuit of yield, going into shorter-term investments. That's good, but also going into high yield. So be careful. Yes, that going into shorter-term high-yield bond funds can give you more potential return and can protect you from interest rate or help to at least address your interest rates risk, but they still put you at risk for credit risk. So if we went into a recession, junk bonds could certainly lose quite a bit of money. So a couple of things there that I thought you might find interesting. Let's take another look at some other areas. Oh, this is good. I follow a website email thing called About Money Over 55. And they had a recent kind of rundown of 7 reasons to consolidate your retirement accounts. And I thought it was pretty good. So the woman's name is Dana. I don't pronounce her name last name correctly. A-N-S-P-A-C-H. Anyway, she gets full credit for this. But I think it's a great summary of the 7 reasons to consolidate your retirement accounts. We're talking about your 401ks, IRA, 403b, 457, all of that stuff can be consolidated. And here are the reasons to do it. Easier to manage. If you've got a bunch of different accounts, it's very difficult to know how much money you have in technology stocks and in equities in general, what types of bonds you're invested in. I mean, I have done financial work for a long time, but if I had to try to manage 30 different portfolios and, you know, combine them together for one client strategy, that would be difficult. It would be a lot easier with one or two accounts to manage for the investment side. And of course, you may do other things with your money. So number one is definitely easier management. Number two, reduce fees. You know, if you have a custodian holding your IRA, they can charge fees. And if you have a bunch of them, your fees could be higher. And if you consolidate your money to be managed by an advisor, if you decide to have an advisor handle your money, the more money you have, guess what? The fee can be less. So I manage a larger account for a lower percentage than I do a smaller account. So that's an advantage. You also don't, if you're talking about IRAs and all these different qualified accounts and you get out there to age 70 and a half, you've got to take your minimum distributions. Well, you could miss one of them. If you've got a half a dozen or a dozen different IRA accounts, you might miss one of them for taking your distribution. So another advantage of consolidating. And of course, freeing up your time is another big one. Do you really want to keep track of dozens of different investment accounts? I know that I would not. Less filing when you talk about the paperwork involved, and do you really want to have a whole pile of paper stuffing your mailbox? And then the other thing is if you change your address or something, you need somebody to get duplicate statements, it's just a lot easier to deal with having fewer changes to make. And then for your beneficiaries, it's a lot easier for them if you have monies consolidated into a handful of accounts as opposed to a bunch. And I'm going to add one more to the 7 reasons, and number 8, it is also helps you protect your identity better. Not just the number of emails you might get and the paper that comes in the mail or goes in your mailbox. Did I get that statement? I don't remember. Did somebody take that one statement out of your mailbox? It's just all of that detail, and it just increases your footprint, if you will. You can get a little bit more below the radar, not maybe be as much of a target if you just don't have quite so many accounts all over the place. So that's interesting, and I wanted to share that with you. Now, let me turn my attention to another interesting thing I ran across recently. Same magazine, Financial Advisor Magazine, Muriel Siebert was the first woman to buy a seat on the New York Stock Exchange, and she died at age 80. And she had success as one of Wall Street's early influential female analysts, and she had become one of the first women to be on the New York Stock Exchange. And she paid $445,000 for one of the 1,366 member seats back in 1967. So she will be remembered for her mark, her footprint on the industry. Now, here is a ex-Marine putting the footprints in the wrong place on folks that he was said he was trying to help. Ex-Marine hedge fund manager scam fellow vets, says the Securities and Exchange Commission. A U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, they won a court order to stop a former Marine who allegedly was defrauding fellow military veterans while masquerading as a hedge fund manager. That's just absolutely ridiculous. Okay, how much worse could you treat your fellow veterans? But he did, and he fraudulently raised almost $2 million from investors with his firm. And, you know, the money, typical deal, he spent the money playing around and used it for himself, and he never made good on his investing promise. So unfortunately, these things happen. You just got to be careful with what you do and who you trust, and make sure that the people are, they're doing what they say they're going to do. And you know, another area that's going to be coming, in fact, the regulators are trying to get ahead of this one. Don't let your investments or your retirement go up in smoke. FINRA warns that marijuana investments are attracting scam artists. A growing number of crooks are trying to get in on this area that may grow, and the growth in legal pot is certainly no exception. There are 20 states now that approve medical marijuana and 2 that are allowing recreational use. FINRA said the fraudsters are trying to piggyback on the publicity to offer the unwary investor chances to ride the trend. And You know, they recommend, of course, you take the usual steps of doing your due diligence and following the general rule that if it sounds too good to be true, it is. And so let's not even go there, okay? Let's not even get involved with something like that and avoid it completely. I had two or three more scams out there. They all, you know, they all happen, or a lot of them happen when the financial person or otherwise, it doesn't have to be a financial person, they get control of your money. So it is essential to keep your money segregated. There was another case where, and I had highlighted it, here it is, the Securities Exchange barred an advisor for misrepresentation. Thomas Gary Cooper, owner of Second Mile Wealth Management, not allowed to be in the financial industry anymore because, and of course, they settled without admitting or denying. But what he did was he had commingled client money into one account, did all this day trading, and he lost their money and he spent the rest of it. And the part of the problem was he consolidated the client accounts into one account, what we call an omnibus account. Now, if I were an investor, I would never let my financial advisor combine my accounts with anybody else's. You always want your own individual account. You get that statement directly from the custodian, like a Fidelity, Ameritrade, a Schwab. You get that statement directly from them each month so you can review it. And say you have to study it and be a financial expert, but just review it. And that'll help you keep track, but don't let it get commingled. All right. That's a quick rundown of some of the things I see. We'll take another quick break and we'll be back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right, you ready? Exciting. I've got a very cool guest for the show today. Dr. Robbie Ludwig is a psychotherapist, a reporter. The website for today's program is drrobbieludwig.com. She is, well, she does a lot. I don't know when she sleeps. She is a busy woman. She has hosted two seasons of TLC's reality show, 1 Week to Save Your Marriage, and GSN's reality show, Without Prejudice. She's also written the book, Till Death Do Us Part, Love, Marriage, and the Mind of the Killer Spouse. And she also practices as a psychotherapist. She's busy, but she made time for us. Dr. Robbie Ludwig, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Can you see how excited I am? I'm wound.
Oh.
I'm so glad to have you on the program. We agreed before we started the show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to call her Dr. Robbie for short. So, Dr. Robbie, tell us, okay, we've got a lot to cover, and we've got only a little bit of time to do it. So let me dive right in.
Okay.
And I want to ask you about a recent Coldwell Banker survey, and I know you're very familiar with it. So, that talked about the differences among Americans, how they feel about how long is too long for kids to live at home with their parents. And we're talking about kids that have graduated high school or have gone out or never left. And so we're not talking about children. We're talking about adult kids, adult child. And so tell us a little bit about the survey and why it's something that you think we need to really be focusing in on as individuals, as part of society.
Well, I thought it was really interesting. You know, I partnered with Coldwell Banker to look at the boomerang kid phenomenon. And basically, it is a new and very common trend. So we wanted to look at what does this really mean? What does this mean in terms of the psychology of our youth right now and how are parents reacting to it? And what I found so interesting, and I don't know how it was when you graduated college. I know how it was for me. It was basically uncommon to find kids returning home to live with their parents.
That's true. That's the way it was at the time.
And if people did live home, it was for a very brief period of time, and it wasn't looked upon as something positive. In fact, there was a bit of shame associated with it, which is very different today.
You had, it used to be you had to have a very good reason.
There's a changing mindset. Mm. So it is way more common for kids to return home after college, and there isn't that stigma associated with it. And what I found most striking about this study was that in many cases, both the kids returning home after college and the parents like the idea of this arrangement of kids returning home. Now, in part, you know, we have a difficult economy out there.
Sure.
So in part, it is the fact that there aren't lots of jobs out there for these young kids. And so financially, they need a little extra help and support. So we looked at the different kinds of kids that were returning home. We had the PERMA children who would return home to live with their parents and function more like high school students. It
right.
would be more of a regression
okay.
where they were spending their money on disposable items like a teenager, expensive restaurants and maybe vacations and not really thinking about their future. And then we had the grouping of millennials that would return home with purpose, that really used this time to get their feet on the ground and build a financial foundation.
Well, you know, that used to be really one of the quote-unquote good excuses was, you know, you were saving up for a home or you were doing something else. I remember I had gone to college. I went to work right out of college. I then had an opportunity after a couple of years working for the accounting firm to come back home, so to speak, and work for a local insurance agency. And I lived with my parents for a little bit till I kind of got situated when I first came back, and I saved some money, and then it let me kind of, you know, move in another direction, which, so I had a very good reason. It wasn't just to hang out.
Right. It wasn't just to watch television and have your mom do your laundry for you. And the study found, what we found was 80% of Americans felt okay about kids returning home to live with their parents if they were saving to buy a home, or if they were using that time in a really thoughtful way to find their next permanent job. And 82% of Americans felt okay if kids would return home and act responsibly, like pay rent or contribute to the household in some kind of meaningful way.
That makes sense. Well, now, I've got to ask this question. Did the study reveal, or you can maybe give us some insight into, what were there gender differences?
There were gender differences. I'm so glad you asked. Women were more accepting of kids returning home after college. Men were less so.
Hmm.
And I'm sure that makes sense, right? A lot of husbands like the idea of getting their wives back after their kids leave. And we also found that the younger parents were more accepting of their kids living with them for anywhere up to 6 years.
Okay. How about on the other side, though? How about with, did you see a difference in gender for the, who came back?
Oh, we did not see that.
Okay.
So that was something that I don't believe that we looked at.
Okay.
But what we were really trying to do is help parents and kids understand why it's important to use this time in a maximal way, to make sure that you're using this time in a healthy way, because sometimes parents also become perma parents and like the idea of their kids needing them, and what were they jeopardizing? In some cases, their retirement.
Mm.
In some cases, they were spending money they didn't have in order to support this ongoing family.
Well, it also probably creates a new or additional stress for the marriage.
Well, absolutely. That certainly can be the case. And also in terms of for the parents looking at their next chapter in life, because very often this is the time that parents think about downsizing.
Yeah,
they don't need a four-bedroom house anymore. And maybe they can think about moving into a smaller place where it's not as demanding on them physically or emotionally or financially.
Yeah, maybe they were going to do some traveling. Maybe they're going to do some cruises.
Exactly. And why is it important for these 20-year-olds? I mean, I think in the media, very often the 20-year-olds have been trivialized, and it's not necessarily thought of as important years. But the truth of the matter is you have one shot at being in your 20s.
That's right.
And the choices you make do impact your future possibilities.
Yeah, and look back to where you were when you were 20 versus where you're 30.
Right.
And you look at, then you look at, you know, as you go through the different milestones. I know that's a huge difference. So it isn't to be trivialized. And I think one of the things you're also speaking to, Robbie, is that, I mean, there's a lot of self-esteem that is built up over that period of time. So this isn't just about the parents, but what's good for their kids.
Exactly. And so even if it is, let's say, comfortable for parents and kids to stay home for a longer period of time, and I think in part it's because it's taking us all longer to grow up. So there's this emerging adulthood, right? So kids in their 20s might not feel quite adult yet. Parents who are however old when their kids return home from college, they might not feel quite ready for that next phase. But just because something is comfortable doesn't mean it's healthy.
That's so true. Okay, so we've got about a minute left. Help me then for my listeners, where we go from here? Is this something where parents and the children need to, from the get-go, they need to be really clear?
There needs to be an understanding. There definitely needs to be an understanding. So ideally, parents can help their kids pay rent because life's not free. So you want to help train your child for the real world. And also make it clear that there needs to be an exit strategy. You're there to help. You want to make sure that they have a good, solid foundation. But the goal of this period of time really is to get their feet on the ground. And it's the parents' job, ultimately, to raise their children to be successful and independent adults.
Yeah, and the key part there is independent. And
that's right.
And so maybe part of it is, okay, look, we're going to have a date that, okay, we agree, you're back, glad you're back, okay. We're going to have a 2-year, 3-year, or by December of this year, this is when you will be planning on leaving. And maybe there's also, which is obviously a big part of this, a financial element, a savings goal that, okay, yeah, you're going to put away so much money a month, and by the time you get to the end, you should have this much
right
for your one-way journey, your one-way ticket out.
That's right. That's right. So that there's some understanding that this is for a definite period of time and that there are expectations during this time that help propel both the young adults to move forward and also the parents to move forward.
Absolutely. It's almost like a little bit like a medical period or checking into a facility. It's recuperative, it's rehabilitative, it's reinforcing, but it's not a permanent solution.
Exactly. Exactly.
Very good. Dr. Robbie Ludwig is our guest. And Robbie, we're out of time, so we're going to have to have you come back. She's a psychotherapist, reporter. The website, drrobbieludwig.com. Robbie, thanks so much for being on the program.
And I just want to say, if people have more questions about the study, you can go to cobaltbanker.com.
Excellent. Thank you for adding that. And we'll have you back.
I would love that.
Thanks again. And we will be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. And I have to share with you, I get great questions from listeners and readers. And if you want to send me a question, info@davidholland.com. info@davidholland.com. Be happy to answer it for you. I'll shoot you an email back. Or I would, of course, if it's something that other people could benefit from, like LJ's question, he recently asked me about, I'm with a financial planner who has me in bonds. I've lost $30,000 in the last 3 months. She won't suggest better investments, but has no problem charging me. Should I freeze my account and or run from this advisor? And like LJ, if you send me that question, I might just answer it on the air or in a column. Well, LJ, I've answered this already, but I want to share LJ's question with my listeners and answer this question, which I think is very important and very relevant to where we are. My answer to you, LJ, is run. but not because of the losses, but for the lack of communication. And if the advisor isn't willing to discuss alternatives, you've got a real fundamental problem with the relationship. If one of my clients expressed the concerns that you have in your email to me, and I'm sure you've expressed them much more clearly and in more detail and in more length with the advisor, I would be all over that. Okay, I'd be all over it talking about making sure we had you in the right investments, making sure you were adequately diversified, and making sure that we had explored enough alternatives. Now, if you've got bonds, there's a couple important things to remember. If they're individual bonds, you will receive or should receive the face amount of the bond as long as you hold it maturity and as long as the issuing company is alive and well. If you're in bond funds, those losses could be permanent or they could be temporary. Of course, the longer the maturity, the more they're affected by interest rates. So reduce your exposure, look at other options, but don't take no advice or poor advice as a response to your query. And based on the amount of your losses, your account is probably pretty substantial. You deserve some real attention. Okay, that is all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining me.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.